How many are really interested in being a soldier for the Lord? I don't see any hands. As I mentioned, my youngest brother was in Special Forces stationed at Fort Bragg. And throughout some of his training, my sisters asked a few questions, and he told them a little bit about what he went through. And, you know, a part of being a soldier is sometimes you're going to get taken beyond what you think you can stand up to. And he told us of some of his training. They dropped him off in the mountains in Colorado and said, "We'll see you in 7 days at this rendezvous point to pick you up." And all he had was a compass, a knife, and the little jacket they gave him that he had on his back. So my sisters asked him, "Well, what did you eat?" "Eat whatever you could find." And he said when he first dropped him out there, he thought, "I'll find me a rabbit. I know how to skin him. I'll figure out a way to cook him." But he didn't find any. So they asked, "What do you do now?" He said, "Well, they tell you some things you can eat and survive on, and first you think, I'm not eating that." He said, "But when you get hungry enough, you find out some of those bugs taste pretty good." And he told us of another instance where in their training, at least the way he described it to me, he said they pushed them so hard. He said, when they gave us a break, he said, I was so out of it, I walked over to a tree trying to put a quarter in there thinking it was a vending machine. And he said, they asked him, "Soldier, what makes you think you can do this?" And he said, the only answer he had was, "Because my father said I could do it, sir." And he got through. Now, he saw some other things later on that he won't talk about. And being a part of Delta Force, some of it's pretty gruesome. But nevertheless, if we want to make a good soldier for the Lord, we're going to have to face whatever comes our way. And you can do that. But one of the things that it takes is for us to be able to listen. And you may feel that you're a good listener. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the listening ear. And you might feel like you don't need this. That's all right. I'm just going to tell you like Brother Woodrow Warren used to tell us when he'd come through Wichita. If you don't need this now, you take it and put it in your back pocket. You'll need it later. I want to go to the 20th chapter of Proverbs. The 12th verse says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." What does it mean to listen? Would anyone care to tell me? You're going to have to talk to me. Part of listening is to stop talking. All right? Anything else? Focus on what the other person is saying. Most people are not very good listeners. The writer said to listen means to give attention to for the purpose of hearing. It means to heed or pay attention to what is said, in other words, to obey. Yes. It means to wait attentively for a specific sound. To hear means to perceive by the ear, to learn by the ear, or be told. How many of us like to be told? I I'll let you answer that one for yourself. But you know something, I have watched and I have observed and I've taken note. People really don't want to be told what to do. And yet we'll even ask you to tell them what should they do. And then when you tell them, they don't want to hear it. But we have to have a listening ear. Now, I make this comment from time to time at home. Not everybody agrees. But I tell them, the way you handle everyday life, that is the way you'll handle God. And some disagree with that. But I tell them, you're a creature of habit. And you'll do things a certain way. Some people have a way about them where they just feel like, I just want to do enough to get by. And I've watched for a while, and I'm not all that old, but I've watched for a while and taken note that some who seem to have that approach, that's the way they deal with God. I want to do just enough to get by. And if you tell them you need to bring God your very best, well, God's not that concerned. He's more concerned about the thought in my heart. And I said, well, why you keep kicking against giving him your best? So be mindful of this, because the way we do things, it will affect our relationship with the Lord. And if I'm not in a mode of being able to listen, when he begins to talk to me, I'm going to tell him a thing or two. Some people, when the Lord begins to deal with them about who they are, well, wait a minute, Lord, it's not like that. I'm not that way. And they'll justify it. And there are others that even when they come to you as the pastor or as a minister, and they come and ask you, you begin to tell them something, and then they start, but. And you're like, well, you have all these buts. Why'd you even come and ask about what it had to say concerning what you're doing? But God made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. And he didn't just give it to us so we could hear all the gossip that comes along. He didn't give us eyes, as one person told me one time, well, I just call it the way I see it. I said, well, that might be all right, but I got to wonder if you're seeing it right in the first place. And you know, as we go along, when it comes to listening, my baby sister has this comment. I know you heard what they said, but did you hear what they didn't say? You have to be a listener to hear that. And if you're not, you go on. And I've had to tell some that. I had somebody tell me, well, this person said they're tired of sin and they want to change, and but they can't get there. And I said, if you want salvation bad enough, you can get there. Well, somebody hurt them and this happened and that happened. But if you want God, you can get there. Well, but they said this and they. I said, I know they said that. I said, but did you hear what they didn't say? And then they stopped. And I tell them, I've heard people say a lot of things. They don't always mean what they verbally say. And sometimes there's something else up under that. But we are to make use of this, that we have this ability. God made the hearing ear and the seeing eye, and we are to utilize them for our good and to his glory. And as we go on in this life, we need to be mindful of trying to tune ourselves in to hear what God has to say. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, we find that the Lord had something to say. And I'm going to pick up in the middle of this chapter about the 15th verse. And the Lord is speaking, but he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus was explaining to them that there's been an appeal made to you in different ways, and you've yet to respond and hear that appeal. You've come along, and John the Baptist came, and he kind of had a rough countenance about him. He didn't eat and drink with you, and he came and brought forth the message, and you said, oh, that's a wild man, and he's crazy, and he's got a devil. He lives way out there. He dresses in camel's hair, and he's real biting in his comments to us, calling us vipers and all these things. And you said, oh, no, that's not right. That he's got a devil. Then Jesus comes along, and he eats and drinks with them. He mixes and mingles with them. But now they say, well, he's a wine bibber, and he's gluttonous, and he messes around with the publicans and the sinners, the people we shouldn't even be bothered with. And he's letting them know, but wisdom is going to show you that this was all approached in the right manner. And the results will tell you that as you go on in your life. You and I have to be willing to listen and to hear. And then we won't be so quick to just write something off and say, oh, no, that can't be that way. Well, then the Lord brings it another way. Well, no, it can't be that way either. And as we go through life, even in our salvation experience, many times we're really not willing to listen and to hear. But we can't make it without that. You find that there are people who sometimes habitually they won't hear. Some willfully won't hear. I remember a sister got saved and somebody was talking to her and she told them, well, I don't want to get too saved. The Lord might call me to preach. Well, let me tell you something. That's one thing you don't have to worry too much about. You're not going to call everybody to preach. Satan tries to use that to get people to back off from God and to draw back. But you and I are required to listen to what he has to say. And many times what he is really saying is, come closer, my child, to me. Come closer. And I can understand not wanting to preach. I didn't want anything to do with it. Sister Annabelle Allen made a comment one day there at the Tulsa camp meeting, and I came out a little bit early while altar call service was going on, and I stood out there on the steps of the porch. And there were other people outside, but she came outside and she said, you young people got all these talents and won't let the Lord use them, and you're letting other people get in there and make messes. I looked up and was like, Auntie, who are you talking to? You know who I'm talking to. And I told her, Auntie, because that's what I called her. She wasn't my aunt, but I called her that. She called me her son. I don't want anything to do with preaching. And she said, why? I said, because people lean on them too hard, grind them down in the ground, and they die early, and I'm not interested in dying early for nobody. And she thought about what I said, and she finally just asked me, if this is the only way you can get to heaven, then what are you going to do? And then I had to think a little bit. I looked down at my shoes and then finally looked up at her and said, Auntie, if that's the only way that I can get there, I'm going to punch my ticket and go because I'm going to heaven. But you know, even there, the Lord didn't call me right away to preach. He had to deal with me for quite a few years. And he did so slowly, and he didn't even deal with me from the standpoint of, I'm calling you to preach. It's just from the standpoint of, there's something else you ought to be doing. But you've got to be willing to hear. Yes. And you know, whatever he does call you and me to do, he's going to equip you in some way. He's not going to just dump it all on you. He's not going to just come up to your house and back up the dump truck and dump out your burdens. All right, here it is. Get with it. He's going to deal with you as young people. He's going to equip you, and if you stay true to Him, He'll bring things along your way that are all kind of building up to when He finally makes that call.
Yes.
But that's not the point for you to worry about. Learn to have a listening ear.
Yes.
Brother Michael made mention about love this morning and how it can affect marriages and whatnot. Listening will affect your marriage too. Spouses want to know that you're listening to them. And my wife taught me that. She was talking to me and I was saying, and I'm reading the paper. And she finally said, "You are not listening to me." And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "What did I just say?" Now, I was able to repeat what she just said. And kind of left her a little frustrated because she thought, "He's not listening." Had she asked me one more question, "What did I say before that?" she'd have had me. But she didn't ask, so I got off the hook and I learned I better pay attention a little more so I don't get in trouble. But we are called upon to hear. And not everybody's willing to do that. And so he let them know he that hath ears to hear, and this was repeated by him time and again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that is willing to hear, let him hear. And that's what he meant by that. And it's yet the same for you and I today. He upbraided other people in those next few verses because they did not respond to the dealings and the things that they saw. And he's more or less letting them know, you're not hearing and you're not seeing. And you know, as we go through this life, hearing the Lord is not always about Him speaking audibly to us. It's not always about somebody coming along and telling us, "The Lord told me to tell you this." Sometimes it's just in us obeying His word as we go along this walk of life. And sometimes people say, "Well, the Lord didn't tell me to do that." He does not have to tell you every single thing. His word gives us something to go by. And as you look upon it, I remember where I used to work. Sometimes there was a co-worker of mine. We would talk about things we heard on the radio. And people would be overhearing us talking at break. And then they'd be wondering, "Well, where did you see that?" And they had a statement on the radio. Maybe you heard it. I'd tell them, "I saw it on the radio." And they're like, "Well, we didn't hear that on the news." And then the other guy would explain, "Well, no, you don't understand. We were listening to the radio. We both happened to be listening to the same program." Many of the things that sometimes people hear, you see. And it begins to talk to you and let you know, "This is the way, walk ye in it," or "That's not the way I want you to go, so don't get into that." And you and I have to be sensitive to that and respond to it as we go along this way of life. You know, there are things that can happen, and you'll learn, and they'll talk to you more as you go along the way. And I remember when my father passed, I think the statement my sister made is, "Well, I feel like I'm an orphan now because mother and father are both gone," and we were all grown. And I told her, "I understand how you feel. But you know, there are times when some of the things they told us, it still talks to you. Some of the things they teach you still have an effect upon you. You still miss them, but yet it talks to you. And if you hear it, it'll lead and guide you as you go along in this way." God's spirit is much like that. He will still speak unto you and me. He may just check us in what we're doing or what we're thinking about doing, or maybe trying to make a decision. And you may not know exactly which way to go, but He'll let you know, "But don't go that way. But don't do this." And you know, if you respond, you'll be blessed. Everything that He checks you on won't necessarily be something that's bad to do. I had a conversation with Brother Michael today, and I told him at one point something happened in my life, and I decided I'm not getting married. I'm going to go back to school and get what I always wanted to do, which was my PhD, and then I'm leaving town and go somewhere where nobody knows me. Well, I actually went to the university and picked up the paperwork to try to get into an MBA program. Came home and started filling out the paperwork, and I'm the only one in my house. And the Lord said, "Don't do that. And I looked around like, now I know there's nobody in here but me. And then I started thinking, but why can't I? There's nothing wrong with me going to school. It'd be better for me to go to school than to be sitting with idle time and get into some kind of trouble. And he didn't argue with me. And I put the paperwork down, and finally I thought, you know, my deadline is coming up, and I need to get this turned in. And so I sat down and started filling out the forms, and he said, don't do that yet. And I'm like, what's wrong? But I put it aside, and I didn't know what was coming. But he has something else for me to do. You have to be willing to listen and follow God in this way. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to start with the 9th verse. And I want you to consider. It says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And then he began to explain to them the parable of the sower. Now in Isaiah, he spoke that very thing about the children of Israel then, and you're going to see and not see, and you're going to hear and not hear, and therefore not understand. And he's saying that even like it was then, it was that way now, and it is still that way today, where people begin to let their ears get dull and their hearts wax gross to where they won't accept what God has provided unto them. And it's amazing to me how people can turn away from God and yet accept so many other things without even questioning it. One young man, I was told, the same person that someone told me was so tired. I had a conversation with him before that point. Someone wanted me to talk to him. And he said, he says he's an atheist. And so I sat down and talked with him. And I asked him, well, why are you an atheist? And he's like, well, how do I know what is written in the Bible is true? I said, let me ask you a question. How do you know 2 + 2 = 4? And he said, well, because that's what they've told me. I said, no. How do you know 2 + 2 = 4? Well, you take two of this and you take two of that and you add them together to get 4. I said, no. How do you really know 2 + 2 = 4? Who proved to you that that was 4? How come it's not 5 or 3 or 6 or 8? And he looked at me and like, well, but, and then he realized, nobody's really proved that to me. They just told him. I said, and you accepted it. Now, my geometry teacher when I was in 10th grade told us and actually proved to us 2 + 2 = 4. And he started from scratch. I mean, he said, let's just say there is no numbering system. And he came up through history and he established how a numbering system was developed. And then he actually proved 2 + 2 = 4. I said, now, not everybody has had that kind of an experience. I said, but most of you just go through life accepting some things and you don't question it because this is what everybody says, but you really don't know that that's true. But then when it comes to God, you don't want to hear that because, well, how do I know that's true? I said, you accepted this other without proof. How come you can't accept God? Well, see, they're not willing to hear. Some, even as this scripture brings out, they close their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they see and come to realize this is actually so. And one of the reasons people don't like to do that is because if I open my mind, if I open my eyes, if I see what someone's talking about, then I just can't sit there and keep holding on to the premise that I'm holding on. I have to get up and do something about that. And a lot of times people don't want to do that. So as we go along in this way, we can do like they did. We can let our heart get cold and insensitive and kind of get dumb in a way to where we won't accept what God has to say. And people sometimes come up with a lot of things they think are true. I had a history teacher when I was in college, and he told us that Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea and Pharaoh getting drowned there, that couldn't have happened. And he said, because I went to where that place is, where they were supposed to have crossed, and he said, the water there is only ankle deep. And I thought, ooh-wee. God did all that drowning with just a little bit of water. And then I thought to myself, now this man is a historian. He should know better. All those years down along the way, just about anybody who's been around water knows that silt will build up over time and it can close off a channel. And I said, and not only that, God's not just going to leave everything where you and I can just examine it at our heart's content. Some things we're going to have to take by faith. But you know, as you go on in this way, people will say, well, he was there and he said it's only ankle deep. Have you been there? Were you there at that time? And you know, you say, well, how do we know God's word is true? Just weigh it out. Weigh it out honestly. Listen to what it tells you. And you'll be able to reason. And you know something else? Satan's going to come along and try to reason with you in that way. I remember an instance where I was struggling with some things and I was on my way to work. And it's like just as I got out of the car and I'm starting to walk across the field to go into the plant, it's like Satan walked up beside me and said, well, you know, you're an engineer and engineers are scientists and you're supposed to be able to figure things out. And therefore, you ought to be able to see that this and this can't happen. And understand, young people, you don't need to talk to the devil. But I said something to him then. And I told him something along the line of God said it, I believe it. And that settles it with me. If you got an argument with it, Satan, you take it up with God. Don't come to argue with me about it. There are some things that you and I don't need to listen to. Sister Queen Esther from Tulsa, Oklahoma, she's passed on. But I remember sitting in her Sunday school class once and she caught a cab and the cab driver recognized her dress, and he could see she was a godly person. He began to ask her some questions. And he said something, and Sister Queen Esther was quite a very excellent Bible study teacher. And she also very sharp. And he said something that he questioned, and she let him know, well, I don't agree with that. And he's like, well, he gave his little thought about it, and she said, well, how do you know that? Have you ever lived that? Well, he had said, no, I can't say I have. She said, well, then how do you know that? So he told her, well, you're one of those narrow-minded people that can't reason about things. And she told him, no, I'm not narrow-minded. But when it comes to the things of God, I get narrow-minded real quick. You can't just tell me something. See, she didn't need to hear what he had to say because it wasn't right. And she knew based on God's word it was not right. You and I, as we go along this way of life, there are some things we don't need to hear. But as we go along the way, we do need to have a listening ear. And sometimes you may not be able to easily discern that that's not something to listen to or to take in. But then you can take it to God and say, Lord, what have you to say about this? And now I want to hear you. And the Lord can lead us to where we won't go astray. we must have a listening ear. I am mindful that many times people go on in this life and they fail to develop that, and it affects them spiritually as we go on the way. And if I could say it, and you might say I have a bias here, sometimes it affects them in such a way that when their pastor or some minister or some teacher has to deal with them, it makes it difficult to try to help them because they're not really wanting to listen. What are some things that hinder us from listening like we should? A busy life. All right. We get too caught up with too many things. And when the Lord begins to talk to us, we can't hear it because we got all this other stuff going on in our minds. Anything else? Self gets in the way. That's a big one. Let me share some things with you. We don't listen a lot of times because we already have our minds made up. And therefore, we won't hear what somebody has to say because we're already planning our rebuttal once they take a deep breath. So we're not really hearing them. We're just getting ready to go to battle, get our defenses up. We sometimes don't listen or hear because our will is not involved except for what we want to hear. Example, a co-worker of mine told me he had gone to church. He's sitting there sleeping through church. He really didn't want to be there. But he told us, it was more than me standing there, he said, but when the minister said, I can live any kind of way I want to, just as long as I say I'm a believer in Christ. He said, then I kind of woke up. My ears perked up. Like, yeah, you heard something you wanted to hear. You can go do whatever you want to and still try to name the name of Christ. Up until that time, you weren't interested in him. And that's the way it is with many of us as we go along the way. If they don't say what I want to hear, then I'm going on. I don't hear that. And it won't stop to really wait out to see if that's what I really truly ought to do. And I have found at times, even those that are saved will come to you, but they're wanting you to say what they want you to say. And brother mentioned about marriages, and somebody came to me and they was having some problems, and I listened, and finally I started telling the brother what he needed to do. And you know what his response to me was? Whose side are you on? Because I'm not on anybody's side, but you're wrong, you're wrong. And I don't hold up for anybody doing wrong. But you know, as we go on, it's like, well, I don't want to hear it because you're not on my side. The listening ear is something that we have to have where you listen even when it's not pleasant for you to hear. Sometimes we don't hear because it takes effort and time to hear out a matter. We don't hear or listen because it takes honesty to hear and see. And sometimes in our being honest, and I've had people sometimes come along and maybe we don't quite see things eye to eye as far as how to live this life. But I'll listen to what they have to say. And in the listening, there are times when you just have to really honestly concede you have a point. Well, some people feel like, well, if you believe this and you can see that, then you ought to come to this. I remember years ago, a lady, she was a Jehovah's Witness. She came, and I happened to be off on vacation that day, and I answered the door, and she began to go into her talk, and, well, do you believe this? Well, yes, I do. Do you believe that? Well, yes, I believe that's true. Do you believe this here? Well, yes, ma'am, I believe that too. Well, if you believe all of that, then you believe that so-and-so. No, ma'am, I don't believe that. Well, how can you believe all of this and not believe this? And then we got into some discussion. You know, people are like that, and they feel like, well, I'm going to get you to concede something, and then you'll have to agree. No, I'll listen, and I'll weigh it out. And I may actually concede you have a point. But I have seen times, even amongst God's people, where I won't concede anything because I just don't agree. We're not listening. And just because I listen doesn't mean I always agree. We don't listen sometimes because we kind of have the, I'm right, I know I'm right, and there's nothing else to be said about it. And you know, you can be oh so right and be oh so wrong all at the same time. So we must listen to one another. Sometimes we don't listen because our emotions get involved. And it makes it hard for us to see what's really there. And I've had times, I remember even with my mother-in-law, something came up and she was a little perturbed about it, and my sister was perturbed about it, and my wife was perturbed about it, and I said, it's this way. They're doing this. And they're like, but this and this and this. And I said, hold up. Get your emotions out of it. And I had to repeat it a couple of times. And then my mother-in-law stopped and thought, and she's like, oh, I see what you're saying now. But see, we're all that way where we can get caught up in the emotions of some things and not really stop to think about what's truly going on. We don't listen when we get that way. We don't listen sometimes because the humility is not there. That'll affect some marriages really quick. But we must have a listening ear. People don't listen because they won't take the evidence of God's word or the example in the world. There are things in the world that will tell us to leave stuff alone if we'll see it and listen. And we can learn a lot by that. The sister mentioned self gets in the way. Self gets in the way because of our motives. And sometimes our motives can get dressed up in spirituality, but what's really under that dress is pride, stubbornness, wanting to have my way. And therefore, I won't listen. But I can't make it with God that way. I remember a situation where my supervisor was talking with our boss. And he was trying to give him some instruction on what to do. And the supervisor was trying to finish the boss's sentence, more or less to show him that I'm on the same page. But he thought he knew what the boss was going to say, and he finished the sentence, but that wasn't what the boss was saying. And so the boss took at it from a different point of view and tried to say it again, and he tried to answer him again. And finally, the boss said, you ain't listening to what I'm saying. And then he said, now, forget what you think you know and listen to what I'm telling you. And when he got him settled down, are you settled down now? He said, yeah. Then he told him, and you could see the supervisor going in a vein altogether different than what the head man was trying to tell him. Sometimes we get caught up that way. And we end up not really seeing or hearing what God has to say. And I am mindful of that because sometimes I've had people tell me, well, the way I used to be, I'm not there no more. And I've moved on down the road. And then something will come up in a couple of days later. And here we go. I had somebody come along and they had a little problem with somebody and I wouldn't get involved with it. So I'm not here to referee all your situations. You're supposed to be adults, and you're supposed to be saved and sanctified. And so the Lord ought to be able to help you two to get some of this stuff resolved. Well, they came back later and said, well, brother, I want you to know we got it taken care of, and everything is, we're fine now. All right, thank the Lord. I'm glad it worked out that way. And then about 2 days later, they come back. We got a problem. And I thought, what happened 2 days ago when it was all worked out? But what it really came down to is neither was listening to each other. And see, we kind of know how we're supposed to act as saints. And we kind of know that if things go a little too far, somebody going to look at us a little funny like, well, I thought they said they were saved. Why they got this problem? Why is this happening? I said, we know how to talk the cliche talk. And there's been times when I've asked them questions and they give me those answers. You know, we know how to answer things. And I tell them, that's your God talk talking and that's the wrong answer. I want to know what's really down in your heart. And I've done it enough where one of them said, you don't want us to say anything. I said, not that I don't want you to say anything, but I do want what you say to be genuine and true. Because others are hearing. And you and I need to have a listening ear to what we say. I've had times where maybe other parents have done it. Sometimes my children have come and said something to me and I say, repeat that. And they'll repeat it. And I'll say, repeat that again. And they're looking at me like, duh, daddy, can't you hear? But I'm trying to get them to hear what they're saying, because if they can hear, they'll begin to realize that really didn't sound too intelligent after all. And I need to go and think about what I just said, because he's not buying it. The hearing ear, God wants us to be in that mode. But what I found, and I said like this, listening is not a science. It's an art. And it takes work. And you and I have to labor at it and practice at it. But it will help us when it comes to listening to God. Yes. You know, as we go through this life, we want to be where we can listen. It will help us along this way. And it will make the way of salvation so much the easier for us. James, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You will not make peace if you don't listen. When you consider this, he lets us know that we are to be wise. He tells us in other places to ask and seek for wisdom. And he says, let it be shown by our conversation, by the works we do, our daily walk of life. Let that wisdom be shown. But that wisdom comes from us listening to God, letting him deal with us as we go about our walk of life, confronting those things that don't seem to be so pleasant, and addressing them in a proper manner and listening to what he has to say. And sometimes what God has to say, it won't come by him speaking to us out of the clouds. It will come by him speaking to us in a number of ways. Sometimes as parents, it comes by your teenagers speaking to you. And boy, can they talk and hurt you when they do it. But you know, it's kind of like I heard Brother Kimball say one time, when you meet those kind of places, they go off in the corner and lick your wounds and then get down on your knees and start asking God to help you. Lord, help me. I was told this. I heard this. Now, Lord, help me to not be found in this place again. Here we look upon this, and he lets us know where there's envying and strife. A whole bunch of other stuff is going to come in as a result of it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's clean. It's something that causes a person to handle themselves in such a way that they can have a listening ear. And as we go through this life, young people, you don't have to wait until you turn gray hair to think you have some wisdom. And you don't have to wait till then ask God to give it to you. Ask Him now in your daily walk of life, regardless as to what your age might be, ask God to give you wisdom and understanding as you go along life's way. You don't know who you might be a help to as you walk your walk in life. He said it is pure, then it is peaceable and it's gentle. It's peaceable from the standpoint that we pursue it. And he tells us in his word, seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. But it takes a listening ear. You know, you can quell a lot of problems. I had a situation where I was made to be a supervisor, and I had a couple of men working under me that didn't get along too good. And the day came where things got out of hand. And late that evening, that afternoon, the foreman came to me and said, "We got a problem. What's happening?" "Well, we got some fellas that's kind of gotten into it. And you're going to have to deal with this." All right. So I had about six of them involved in it. And he asked, "Do you want to hold them over on overtime and deal with it, or what do you want to do?" I said, "Let them go home, and we'll deal with it in the morning." And that gave me a chance to ask the Lord, "Well, Lord, what do I do with this? I can't spank them, although sometimes I wished I could." I said, "So, Lord, what do I do?" Well, the next morning we got together after we typically had a morning meeting where they kind of tell us what's happening out in the system, who we're buying power from, who we're selling power to, and what we're going to be working on that day. And then I told him, "Okay, after you get all the other guys off on their jobs, then you gather them up and we'll meet up in the assembly room where we can all sit together." And when those fellas came in, I'm not trying to insult them, but it was like I had six children. Because they were all ready to tell on each other. And so when they sat down, I said, "Well, Kerry, who was the foreman, tells me we have a problem here. So I want to ask a question." And I addressed him, "Mr. Tillerson, can you tell me what your part was in this and what you could have done to prevent this from happening?" "Well, but see, I said, "No. I don't want you telling me what the others did. I want you to tell me what you did. And I want you to tell me what you could have done to keep this from taking place like it did." "Well, but no, I just want you to tell me what you did." And so I went to each one of them. "Mr. Cornett, what was your part in this? Mr. Schimmel, what could you have done to have prevented this? And I don't want to know what the other ones did." Well, by the Lord helping me to do that, I disarmed all of them. And then I told them, quite frankly, I said, "Look, I don't like dealing with these kind of problems. You're not paid to love each other, but you are paid to be a professional and work together. And we can't always keep you separated when we have to get certain jobs done, so you're going to have to learn to be professionals and work with each other when you have to." And then I told them, I said, "And I got one other thing to say. Don't let me have to be brought in here to deal with something like this again. Y'all dismissed. Let's go get to work." You know, each one of them came to me later and said, "I want to thank you for how you handled that and how you didn't let us tell on each other." But you know, it takes somebody who's seeking God for wisdom in their daily walk of life. And although I'm seeking Him for wisdom so I can make it through to heaven, that's my ultimate aim. There are times when that wisdom will help you in the other scenes in life. And so you and I need to have a listening ear. And sometimes, you know, we meet trials and tests and things come upon us. And I had somebody one time say, "Well, they sprung that on me and I wasn't ready for it." You ever seen a trial or test that Satan springs on you where he give you warning that in 2 days I'm going to bring this along your way? So you got time to pray and get ready? No. And you know what else? God doesn't always give you that warning either. Sometimes He'll begin to let you know you need to start praying. What I need to pray about? Pray for yourself. And if you take heed to it, then when the test comes, you'll say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the warning. But sometimes he'll let you and I meet it without having that warning. What you and I have to do is live a steadfast, consistent, day in and day out life where we seek God for those things and we learn to listen so that we can hear what he has to say. Let me ask you a question. I think I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it so you can think about it. How many of us, when we get down to pray, we just get quiet? Or do we get down when we're at home and we lunch right into our long list of what we need the Lord to do? You think about that. Sometimes we just need to get quiet and just say, Lord, what is it that you have to say? What is it that you want to tell me, Lord? I'm always bringing things to you. And you know, you can find a blessing. I think about a songwriter who said, I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord. You've answered a million prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Maybe tomorrow there'll be troubles and sorrows, and 1,000 teardrops may fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. You know, now there's been some times, and I mentioned I go walking and praying, and that's my closet. And there are times when I've got a long list of things to tell the Lord about. And sometimes I don't like how some things happen, and I'll just tell him how I feel about it. But there are other times when you begin to start and you start thanking God first for the things he has done. And then I forget about all them other things and he begins to talk. And you know, although I was maybe going to tell him, Lord, I didn't appreciate that and I don't like this. But by the time he gets through with me, all that other stuff is all right. Lord, I'm not even going to ruin my prayer and this blessing by asking you to deal with all that other stuff. Lord, I'm going to come. I'll see you some other time about that. Because I've been blessed and I don't want to ruin my blessing worrying about that other stuff. And in those times where he's done the talking and I'm saying, Lord, they did this, he's dealing with me. And when he gets through, it's all right. We need to have a listening ear that it might help and encourage us along the way. I'm not saying things won't happen where you have a right, if you will, to feel displeased about what somebody did. And they could very well be somebody saved. But you know, when you begin to listen to the Lord and he begins to deal with you, it'll be all right. It will be all right. And so we can have this kind of wisdom where it is pure and it is peaceable. It is gentle. And they are easy to be entreated. Are you easy to be entreated? Because what that really means is that somebody can approach us and we'll listen. And we'll take in what they have to say. I'm mindful. He told us about Brother Ulysses, and I didn't get to hear him preach very much. But he said a young person came to him, and he was well up in age, 90 years old or so. And he said, Brother Ulysses, the Lord told me to tell you something. And he said, he told him, oh, you have something from the Lord to tell me? Well, goody, I want to hear it. And they told him, and he was blessed. And you think about it. If we are easy to be entreated, God can send his message in various packages. And we'll be willing to accept it and be blessed by it as we go on in this way. You see, it affects the kind of people we become and should be as we go on in this life. The person who is easy to be entreated, they're not stiff. They're not unyielding. They're not obstinate and stubborn. You can say something to them, and they might not agree with it, but they'll go pray about it. And they'll ask God to help them to understand, Lord, is it just me being this way, or what is it that you want me to get out of this? And you know, you'll always be blessed when you do that. There's another reason for us to have a hearing ear. And I want to end up with this. And this passage has been a concern of mine I've asked this question. You're in a camp meeting here. Some of us have been saved for a long, long time. I asked this question once at home. So how many messages have you heard since you've been saved? And you start thinking about that. And I've heard people say, well, I've gone to Monarch and I attended every service. Okay, so you heard 3 messages a day for however many days. You heard 30-something messages in that meeting. I've heard others say, well, I attended such and such camp meeting and I was in every service. Okay, you heard all the messages. And it kind of like it's a badge of honor that I was in every service. But then I told them, say, you know, that's a serious statement. What did you do with all 30-something of them messages that you heard? You're being responsible. You're going to be held accountable for what you hear. But this is what the Lord told Ezekiel in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, talking about the children of Israel and some of the things that they complained about God and his dealings. But he tells him here in this 30th verse, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. That sounds good. They're wanting to go and see what God has to say and hear what he has to say. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. The hearing ear is what keeps God's gospel from becoming just a lovely song to you and me. And we are in danger of that. People many times hear things, might even tell you, I'm going to do better, but then go on and still continue the same way, unchanged. The hearing ear learns from those things that they hear in God's word. The hearing ear leads that person to become a wise person. And the scriptures let us know that a wise person is a prudent person who acts upon those things that they hear, so that when the time comes and they're under siege, they're not destitute and poor, spiritually speaking. And as you go through this life, and I'm mindful, and one sister, she said, you get in after the old people, but I sometimes tell them, look, young people are watching. And when you go to cutting up and carrying on, they start thinking, ooh, I didn't know they were like that. I didn't think that was the way you were supposed to act. And I remember, I don't know what happened, I didn't ask, but I remember one time they announced a business meeting, and I heard a young person say, uh-oh, I'm not going to be there. And I said, why? What happens? I'm like, maybe you need to tell me something, because this will be my first one, and what's going to take place? And it's like, oh, you'll see. Well, I guess being a new pastor, everybody was on good behavior. I haven't seen anything blow up yet, but I do know that people sometimes don't really hear everything, and they can go off on some tangents where people get to rubbing each other the wrong way. And sometimes they don't even hear what the preacher has to say. And I want to say this. There have been times where I remember 2 young people came to me and said, well, I want to thank you for what you said in your message. And you said so and so and so and so. And I'm standing there wondering, did I say that? And so I had to go home and ask my wife, did I say that? Because I didn't remember saying that. That kind of scared me at first. Like, maybe I was up there saying something and didn't even know I said it. But you know, people get different things from different messages, and it depends on what they hear. And you never know what they're meeting, and God has a way of ministering to them in the midst of what goes forward. But I also want to say that it is necessary for us to put forth an effort to hear. I've had times where I'll ask people, and you know how we customarily do, we'll have prayer, then we have a song, then the minister gets up, So it's not like there's this long hour elapsed time. And I've gotten up at times and said, did anyone get anything out of the prayer? Did anybody hear what that person said when they were praying? Was there anything that stood out to you? And I get silence. So are you all listening when they pray? Are you really agreeing in prayer? Or is your mind off someplace else? And I try to bring them back in to some things that are often stated in prayer and say, you know, that's a very important point for us to go home and continue to pray about. The listening ear picks up on that. The listening ear will take those things home where God can then tell them, I want this to be your burden. I want you to pray about this. But if you and I are so caught up in the cares of this life where we don't hear, you know, when we get in trouble, we want people to pray, don't we? We want them to focus in on what we're facing at that time. Can't we listen and focus in on what's going on? May God help us to prove faithful to Him. We must have listening ears. There's too much that goes on, and I've often pondered if you and I could get something. I used to challenge them at home. Well, when this meeting comes, I'm challenging you to get two or three things out of the whole meeting where you will then purpose to work on those things so they become a part of you spiritually speaking. And then by the time the next meeting comes, you'll have moved on up the ladder and you can pick up two or three more other things along the way. That's what these meetings are for. They are there for you and I to hear and then take in and improve ourselves, spiritually speaking, by them. Not so I can impress somebody with my so-called spirituality, but so that I can actually move up and be closer to God and recognize that the closer I am to Him, the further I am away from Satan, and the more I'll be able to have an assurance that I'm on the right road of making it from earth to heaven. May God help us as we go on in this way that we might have listening ears. It'll be a blessing to those around us. It'll be a blessing to God's church. Amen.